Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. As we go to Him in prayer this morning, I want to ask all of you to pray for our leadership of our country here in America, the leadership of our government, and also of our churches, that God will help us to receive godly Christian leadership in all. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we open your word this morning, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to open our hearts and minds to be receptive unto this your word. And Father, we do pray this morning for leadership of our government and for the leadership of each and every one of our churches, Father, that they all be, those that belong to you, that they will be your children, Father, sitting in those offices, giving us the leadership that this nation needs. So, Father, that it can be brought back once again unto your leadership, Father, and our government put back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being, Father, your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 2. You know, we just started. We finished up there with Philemon and all, and Titus, all. And we run into a lot of things that we actually forget about. Now, here in chapter 2 and verse 1 here, it says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by an angel was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with different miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. You see, we find that in the book of Hebrews, we will receive, actually, five different warnings. Think about that. In this book, we're going to receive five different warnings about how we should be, what's coming, and so forth and so on. Now, here in verse 5, it says, for unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we are not yet all things put under him. And you see, when you really take a look at these things and things that he uses, and a lot of the words like the world to come throughout the past and the present ages, angels, they administrated judgment on mankind. We know the angels had a lot to do with those of the Old Testament and the mankind of that day and time. But now, they don't with us. Yes, we have guardian angels, things that way, but the one that is in charge of you and I is the Lord Jesus Christ. No other. All things have been put into his hands and set under his feet. You know, God did make him a little lower than the angels when he brought him to this earth as a babe. But then as he grew, so did his work grow. When you and I today are to live by the things that he has given to us. Now, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death every man. You know, we find there that verse 8 ends with a confession that man's present status does not suggest that he will someday be over all creation. But Christ's status does. You see, that's who they're talking about. They're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. and not just you and I. But we will be used, yes. We'll be used because he will work through us and does work through us even in this day and time. You see, he's already been crowned. He's in heaven now, sitting on the right hand of the Father. And his identity with the victory for man, which was his death and his resurrection. You know, death is one significant cause that makes man lower than the angels, because we all one day will put on what we call death, which this body will go back to dust, and the spirit will go on into eternal life to spend eternity according to the way he has lived his life here on this earth. Now, 10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. You know, as my Bible gives it, the concept of suffering, of the suffering Messiah, was a real stumbling block to the Jews. Well, we know that because they rejected it. And still most of them today are still rejecting him, still trying to live by the Mosaic law. This is why, as we move further into these last days, we need to keep them in our prayers that they will come out from the law and accept the Lord Jesus Christ so that they all too can make heaven their home. They are God's children. They was his chosen family. And they need now to stand up and to choose him and his way instead of their way, so that they can make heaven their home. You see, through death, the suffering of the death, Christ was made perfect. Not that his deity lacked perfection, because it didn't, because he was a man that had lived his whole life here on this earth from a baby up without ever committing a sin, showing us that it is possible, giving us an example, us know we can live according to his word and must, if we're going to make heaven our home. I know there's a lot of you that will hear this that will not believe it. It doesn't matter what is said or where it comes from. You're not going to accept it. You're going to continue to walk in darkness. All right, verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brothers. You see, we went now from man and man to where now we are his brother. How did we get there? We got there by going through him and living by this holy word, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. Well, we all like music. But let me tell you something. We need to love his word more than we do the music, because it should be the priority of our lives. Because if it's not the priority of our lives, then we're going to miss out on a whole lot of things. And can even miss making heaven our home throughout eternity. Now, 13. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. The children that God has given him. Now, you know, we all have to have our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a commandment and one that we must keep, because that is the only way that we can reach the Father. And it's the only way that we will ever receive the gift of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. We have to go through him. Can't go around him over and under him, but we must go through him. We're told how. It's not hard, but it has to be in sincerity and in truth. Now, 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Well, we know from the word of God, while his body lay in that tomb, Jesus was not there. He went into hell and took the keys away from Satan. And he has all power over Satan. And working through you and I, he has given to us that same power. We don't have to allow Satan into our lives. We have been given the authority to use his name, backed by the power of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And Satan cannot stand against that, which means that he cannot stand against you if you are a true born-again child of the living God. You tell him to go, he's got to go. If you tell him in sincerity and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he can't stay. Think about what God has truly given to each one of us. each one of us has that same power that the Lord Jesus Christ had while he was here on earth. Because we have that same spirit within us. All of us that has the Holy Spirit living in us. That Holy Spirit of God is what brings the power of Almighty God to mankind. And you know, the Lord Jesus' ministry started when he was 30 years old. And it was at that same time, the same age, that he received the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. I want you to think about something else, too. You see, he was the Son of God, but also he was man. And he lived the first 30 years of his life without the Holy Spirit in him. And yet, he lived that life without sin. That's letting you and I know that we can do it. And he's told us we must do it. If we're a child of God, then we cannot be sinners. No. If you're a sinner, you're not a child of God. And his word is plain in telling you and I that very thing. We've been over it many times, so I'm not going there this morning. Because I've read it to you I don't know how many times. But you can find it in 1 John chapter 3. It tells you exactly what happens when you are born again. And that you can't commit sin. You can't commit sin because you are born of God. Now, and if you're going to make heaven your home, that's the way your life is. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ delivers all of us who do fear of death. Are you afraid to die because you know you're not right? Then get your Bible. Begin to read it. Find you someone that is a child of God. Sit down with them and get things made right with the Lord Jesus Christ and your life changed. You see, it don't have to be a pastor, because all that are born again children of God can do the same things that Jesus did. You see, they are brothers to him. They are also disciples of him. Think about this. What a great thing God has given unto you. Are you using it? We have a lot of them out there that are really not using the power and the authority that God has given to them, and they are missing out on a lot of blessings because of that. I'm not saying they won't make heaven their home, but they're not going to receive the blessings they could have received. You see, when it comes to that point, the Lord Jesus Christ is their judge, not me. He is. Now, 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. He took on him the seed of Abraham. He took on himself the image of man. That is the seed of Abraham. Now, 17. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. You know, he made that reconciliation for you and I by putting on death, taking upon himself the death to pay for you and I, to pay for our sins, our sicknesses, our diseases, was all bought and paid for by him. And it's by his stripes that we are healed. It's all in God's word. Why is it so hard for mankind to see and understand these things? Is because he still wants to do everything his way instead of listening to the Lord God and his word. You see, he made things actually simple for you and I. But because it's simple doesn't mean that it's easy. Think about it. There's a lot of things even in the world out here simple, but they're not easy. Now, we have finished with chapter 2. Chapter 3 is not too long, and I'm not sure we can get through it. But we're going to start, and we'll go as far as the Lord wants us to go. And here's verse 1. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. He's telling us there who to consider, the apostle and high priest of our profession. And we're being let know who that is. That's Christ Jesus. Verse 2. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all of his house. You know, Jesus is a lot more than what Moses was. And yet Moses was a man of God. But Jesus so far outranks him. Now, for this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who has built the house has more honor than the house. Oh boy. Four. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. And you and I know that this body in which we live in, this fleshly body that we live in, according to the scripture, is a house. And it is to also have the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit living in us. We're not to be there alone. But most don't look at it that way. Now, for every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. Five, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Now we know Moses was. He was faithful. Now, but you see six here lets us know about our Savior. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. He's telling you exactly what I just spoke about. We are his house. And he lives this house, if so be that we have chosen him and have become that child of God and following through and keeping his commandments, his statutes, and his way. But so many don't. They have too many other things to do. Seven. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. And you know, to show you what we all need to understand and know, this 40-year journey they took in the wilderness, going around and around and around that mountain, should have only took 11 days. Think about it. But because they would not quit complaining, murmuring, and putting their trust in him, they just continued on. And yet they saw so many miracles from him as he took care of them. When they needed food, he gave them food from heaven. All they had to do is go out in the morning and pick it up. take it back in and fix it. They needed water. He gave them water out of a rock. They were chased by Pharaoh and his army to kill them. They was blocked at the Red Sea. But the Lord opened the Red Sea, and they crossed over. It said on dry land. It wasn't even muddy. It was dry. Dry land. And then when they got across, and his army was out there, they all drowned because he brought the sea back together again on them. So many things that God did for them. And yet we have the recording of it. We know what he did for them, and we know what he wants to do for us, and we deny both. When we deny him, and that's just like those Jews of Israel today that are living and trying to live by the law that's still rejecting him. They know all of this, and yet they are still standing rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen a lot of things out of God here in our country, in our land. And yet, man don't want to believe it. And will not accept the fact. We've seen his healing power at work. We've seen it in this ministry. Those that's been healed by him. What we don't remember is that he does things according to his will and his way and his time. Just because you ask him for something and it's not done right that moment don't mean that it's not done and that it's not happening. And I'm one can tell you that. You that see me on YouTube, and you and all that know me, you know that I wear oxygen. I've had this oxygen now almost, well, right at a year. But I thank God every day for my healing. Because, you know, for the most part, I'm not in any pain. And all. And I do mostly what I need to do. As I had some people call me on the phone, wanted to know, can you wash yourself? Can you shave yourself? Can you dress yourself? Yes. Can you shop for yourself? Yes. I do my own driving because I know that he is with me. And I can still walk with joy. I know that the healing that needed to be done is done. And I'm still learning things. And you see, that's the main thing. I'm still learning things of God. Now, verse 11, of verse 10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. That's telling you not straight out. We don't need any more explanation. 11. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. You see, God lets you and I know exactly what he's wanting and what will happen if we don't heed and live by his word. 12. Take heed, brother, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Oh, boy. Take heed. Because you don't really want to walk in unbelief and depart from the living God. He's letting us know right there. You don't want that. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened due to the sinfulness of sin. That's why I keep telling you, we all need to walk together and study his word daily. Now we're going through the Bible, but once we finish going through the Bible, we need to stay in his word daily. So things, service-wise, it's not going to change that much. All right, now, 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. You can't go back and forth. You've got to hold on to it, as he said, steadfast unto the end. Until you draw that last breath here on this earth. Hold on to his word. 15. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Hear his voice. And let me tell you something. The more you study his word, the more of his voice you hear. Because as you study, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and to I in giving us the revelation of the truth of this word. 16. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Some did provoke. He says, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcass fell in the wilderness? And we know that through those 40 years, the generation that came out of Asia had mostly died through those 40 years that did not make it into the new land. The generation that was born as they traveled is the ones that made it into the new land. And it was all because of their complaining and their grumbling and the sin that they carried through. Right down to having a golden calf made and throwing one of the worst parties known to mankind. And because of that, he took 23,000 of them that one day. 18 and 19, and we're going to be closing. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. That's 18. Those that believed not. That's the ones that's not going to enter into his rest. That's telling you now something right there. 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Those two verses right there is letting you and I know that unless we get right with God, we're not going to make heaven our home. Are we? According to his word. We ain't going to do it. Can't do it. And he didn't pull no punches telling us. He made it very plain. Right there. We have come to the end of chapter 3. And we're going to stop here for the morning. God willing, this evening, maybe we can pick up with chapter 4. You know, the thing about it is, when you stop and really think, I don't have a lot of time to do a lot of things for myself. By the time we have services at 10 to 11, then back 6 to 7, and all, it don't leave much time. But I have walked with the most joy that I've walked with in many, many years because of the time I have been spending in the Word and with Him. A lot of days I'm spending the whole evening with Him. Sitting in my chair, meditating on the Word, and He will be speaking to me at the same time. And let me tell you something. There's no joy any greater than that. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your Word, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for a time that we can come together to share your Word here in my home. Now, Father, we ask for your blessing upon this nation and upon our churches. Once again, Father, we need in these positions of leadership people that love you, the people that will work with those of us that are looking for the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to bring this nation to repentance so it can be healed, Father, and to bring Jesus back and put him back into all the places he's been taken out of. And Father, I ask at this time for all those that are sick and distressed, for them to lay claim to that healing power that has been given to them already. They just have to lay claim to it and receive it and believe and thank you for it, because it's by his stripes that we are healed. That was given to us a long time ago, Father. Let mankind begin to believe it. And I'm praying that those that are sick now that will hear this will accept that, put their belief in Jesus, and turn to you. Father, we're told everything we need. We're told how to pray. We're told to pray to you in Jesus' name. We're not to pray to saints, to angels, to his mother, or anyone else. We are to pray to you in his name. You told us you would hear from heaven. And if we know that you hear from heaven, then you will answer our prayers. You'll give us our wishes, as the word tells us. Now, Father, bless each and every one of us, Father, and use us in great and mighty ways to reach out and to help others to come out of darkness and into the light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we prepare to separate for this day, Father, keep us in health, keep us safe, and bring us back together again at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. God bless everyone. Have a great day. I had one on here on YouTube that I'd have never dreamed would have been there. I spent 4 months in his church.